In Philippians chapter 1, there was a question asked whether the day of Christ is the day of the Lord. Let's take a look at Philippians 1. In verse 3, well, let's start in verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. You know what a saint is?
Born again.
It's the holiest one of all.
Oh, wow.
It's one who will dwell in the holiest with the Lord, or in the sanctuary. Only the high priest could go there once a year. We're going to live there. He had to give us the divine nature to make us qualified or meet or acceptable to receive the inheritance he has in store for us. So he had to bring us into his category of being and that spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, that's free. Let's see. Verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. You want to know what a leader is? Well, that's one of them right there. That's a qualification. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, he will complete it, perform it, until the day of Jesus Christ. That's the day he returns, on the day of redemption, on the day of salvation, and gathers us, snatches us up into the heavenlies. Look down in verse 8. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I say, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all perception. Judgment is perception. That you may approve things that are the best. That's how we'd say it. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of what? Because that's the day he comes to take us home. So you get over there to that verse where he says, verse 23, I'm in a strait betwixt two. And the context is life or death, because he's in prison. And then you got a parenthesis. Having a desire to depart. The word should be translated return. That's how it's translated many times. Is to depart. Is to depart with Christ, return with him. And to be with Christ, which is, the Greek says, far, far better. In parenthesis. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is needful for you. Okay, so that's two of them there. Now let's go. I want to show you one other thing that I covered earlier but didn't explain to you. And that's in 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 10. Hang on. Let me find where I found it a second ago. Daggone it. I was in Timothy. It was after that. This is what frustrates me. My memory. Still here, by the way. Let's see. Nope, that's not it. Okay, should be right up here. Let me also tell you this, that verse about the departure. Let me tell you what the Aramaic reads about that. It says, do not let anyone deceive you in any way, because it will not come except an escape should come first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of destruction. So his coming is called an escape, because we're going to escape the judgment of God, which is the wrath of God on the ungodly. So that's the Aramaic, which that's probably what the Greek was translated from.
Is that verse 3?
Yeah, that's 2:3. Aramaic, English, Interlinear, New Testament. Alrighty. Okay, it's time to get to work in me, Lord. And stir it up. Okay, 2 Thessalonians 1:10. I mentioned this earlier. In 2 Thessalonians. Let me read you verses 4 through 10. It says, so that we ourselves, this is Revised Version, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. And there's really not a reason other than preconceived ideas of faith not to translate it faith. It's a noun. Believing is a verb. Okay, they come from the same root stem, pistis and pistuo. But in the King James, for the noun they use faith, and for the verb they use believing. We use it, call it believing all the time, just because of the preconceived ideas that are erroneous, which don't line up with anything biblical. Am I loud enough for you in the back? Can y'all hear? Okay. So, in verse 4 of 2 Thessalonians 1, it says, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions which you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, to the end that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to go through the pursuit of your adversary. That's a given. It says so in Timothy. If so be that it is a righteous thing with God to recompense affliction to them that afflict you, and to you that are afflicted rest with us, when? At the revelation or the appearing of the Lord Jesus from heaven with his mighty messengers of his power. When he comes at the revelation or apocalypsis, that's the day of the Lord. And when it happens, we will already be at rest with him in the heavenlies, with Paul, who wrote this. Okay? In flaming fire, which rendering vengeance to them that know not God, to them that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment. The word punishment, it means a judicial sentence, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might. So when they're raised, they will see him in glory. Then they will suffer the second death in the lake of fire, and they'll just be destroyed. So the righteous judgment of God is his judicial sentence passed upon them after offering them grace and mercy time after time after time, and they chose to spit in his face. They rejected. The Revised or King James, I think they both say, when he shall come. You can translate it after, and it should read accurately as it does in other places, after he shall have come. to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all that believed, because our testimony or witness unto you was believed in that day. These verses refer to both parts of the Lord's parousia. The Lord Jesus will have already gathered his saints into the heavenlies and brought them rest before his revelation to the world, when he appears with his mighty angels, his messengers of power, to execute judgment against the ungodly. The word vengeance in verse 8 means execution of justice. Sentence passed. Into court. Lord Jesus' execution of justice will be rendered to the Gentiles who do not know God, and to the Israelites who knowing don't obey the gospel, after the Lord shall have come to be glorified in his saints and admired in all those who believe regarding him. The words "when he shall come" in verse 10 are huton elthi, E-L-T-H-E, huton, H-O-T-A-N. Huton elthi from the adverb huton and the second aorist subjunctive of the verb to come. Reverend Cummins remarks in A Journey Through the Acts and Epistles on page 486. On 110, he says the word when is huton, when or whenever. The verb in this temporal clause is aorist subjunctive, indicating that the action of the temporal clause precedes the action of the main clause in verse 9. Hence, huton may be translated after in this construction. Thus, verse 10 indicates that the return of the Lord Jesus for the holy ones, the gathering together of the church as described in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, will precede his return with his messengers and power and destruction of the ungodly as described here in verses 5 through 9. That period of vengeance or wrath following the gathering together of the church is called the Day of the Lord. The interlinear Greek English New Testament translates it "when he shall have come." The Aramaic English interlinear New Testament translates it "after he comes." The period of the Lord's execution of justice on earth will not begin until after he has come to be glorified in his saints and we are at rest with the Lord. Does that make sense to you? Do you have any questions from 1 Thessalonians 4 or 5 or from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 or 2? You understand the gathering together is the day of Christ, is the day of redemption, is the day of salvation, is the day of rest. Comfort yourselves with that. Okay? All righty. Let me scratch that off the list. We're going to keep going. Let's go to let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Yeah, it's 2 Peter. Let's go to chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust or desire, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Where is the promise of his coming?
Because the fathers fell asleep, all things are just like they were from the beginning of the creation.
Fools. Verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. So that would be which heaven and earth?
First
heaven and earth. All right. But, I missed a verse, didn't I? Yes, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of what?
Judgment.
Judgment and perdition of ungodly men. What day would that be?
Day of the Lord.
The day of the Lord. But in contrast, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. Hey, I was an eternal being right now. It wouldn't make much difference to me either. The day's coming. It will be. It's too cool. I mean, you start thinking about this stuff. Wow. It just... Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is what?
Suffering.
Long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a change of heart, repentance. They should confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised his son from the dead. And then they could be on the day of salvation, the day of redemption, be gathered unto him on the day of Christ. They could be transfigured, transformed to be like the Lord, to be glorified with him, to have the acquisition of glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to obtain it, just like he has himself. He was the first fruit of other like fruits. He was the first and only man who is seated at the right hand of God in the heavenlies. There's nobody else up there. Enoch is not there. What's the next one?
David.
Huh?
David.
Yeah, in Hebrews 11.
Oh.
Who were the fathers? Enoch?
Noah.
Moses.
No, Abraham.
Jacob. Who had 12 sons that were Israel, went into captivity. Moses.
Joseph.
Yeah, Joseph.
Joseph was there.
Yep. Moses. And what about Moses? Save your place. I want to read you a verse. This is pretty neat. Hebrews 11. Look over at the Moses part. That starts over in verse 23. By the believing, the proper, correct, only way of believing, which was in the promised Messiah, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a proper child. He was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Pretty bold parents. You ever think of that? By believing, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach for Christ's sake greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. That was the wealthiest power on earth at that time. And why did he do that? Because he had respect unto the payoff, the recompense of the reward. By faith, or believing, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Quite a man. Seeing him who is invisible. Well, it had to be by revelation. Did he look for the first coming of Christ? Absolutely. That's free again. I'm just giving you so many free. I think you're as tired as I am, aren't you? We'll keep it short then. No, shut up. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. How many times you heard that so far? A bunch. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. A couple of years ago, there was a meteorite that passed by a Russian city and all the glasses shattered in the buildings. And they heard this noise that was like a volcano going off. One meteorite. Heavens pass away. When the Lord says great noise, you know what he means? Great noise! I wouldn't want to go through that. I just don't want to do it. Just tell me what to say. I'm saying I'll believe it. I promise. It's going to come like a thief in night. Heaven's going to pass away with great noise. Elements are going to melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. How do you burn up a work? It has to be talking about purity of judgment. The earth is going to get burned up, but that's at the end of the Lord's day. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in? The way you live is holy and godly. See, all these things happen in the Lord's day. It doesn't matter what part of the Lord's day, but they're all going to happen in there in judgment of the ungodly. Now, I know you can't read. It's too small, and if it was bigger, you couldn't read it anyway because I wrote it. But this gives us a little timeline. The Lord comes to earth in the Lord's day. Let's start over here. Gathering together. Where do we meet him?
In the air.
When he comes to the earth with his army, that begins the Lord's day. The Lord's day runs 1,000 years. He rules the earth in righteousness. The Prince of Righteousness. He comes to earth with his army. His mighty messengers reigns for 1,000 years. The resurrection of the just happens towards the beginning. The devil is imprisoned for 1,000 years. And the nations have to come and show honor, and every knee shall bow. That's what it says. That's what it means. They don't. No rain in their land. Flesh dries up off their flesh. Eyes in the sockets. And they die. I like how he says it. It's pretty neat. Anyway, you go through this, he reigns. Every enemy subdued. Once every... look at 1 Corinthians 15. This gives you your timeline you were asking for, Sharon. 1 Corinthians 15. You guys must be hungry, because I think I have already covered more information than I have in any of the other weekends. Look in chapter 15, and here's your timeline. In verse 22, let's start. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own what?
Order.
Order or progression. It's like a troops. The troops by battalion, they go by. Then it says, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ, when? Then comes the end, when he delivers up the kingdom to God, even the Father. when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. That's what the 1,000 years is all about. He rules the nation, Psalm 2:8. Rod of iron breaks him in pieces like a potter's vessel. Every knee will bow. So there's your order. Comes for the church at his coming. We're out of here. Then comes judgment to the Gentiles and the Jews, the ungodly. And then comes the end when he delivers up the kingdom to God. He must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet, verse 25. The last enemy that shall be annulled, destroyed, is death. It's committed to the second fire. To the second death. For he, God, hath put all things under Christ's feet. But when God says that all things are put under Christ, it's manifest that God is the exception which did put all things under Christ. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son himself be subject to God that did put all things under him, that God can be all in him. That's your time. Yes.
Is that the end of the second heaven and earth right there?
That is the end of the second heaven and earth. Fire falls from heaven when the devil deceives the entire world to come against Israel, against his Christ and his people. They come, heavens fall, earth passes away. There is no heaven. Then there's a throne, and all the dead, the unjust, appear before the guy on the throne. And he issues judgment. All judgment, it says, was committed to the Son. In that chapter I read you from John 5, and the power over every grave, his power is vast. But after he's accomplished the will of God, he turns the kingdom over to God, and you have the day of God. It's coming up next. I'm going to read it to you. Back in Peter.
Can I ask you a question? The one thing I'm not clear about is you have the day of Christ, and then it starts the day of the Lord. And when exactly, after the gathering together, is the resurrection of the just?
It's at the first part. After the devil is put into the lake and he sent forth the angels to collect the saints that are left living and bring them back to Jerusalem. Talks about it in chapter 20. And we'll get to that.
And so then, is it after that that the 1,000 years is?
He reigns from the time he hits the earth for 1,000 years.
But the beginning, the resurrection of the just is in the beginning of that.
Of that reign.
So then. After that occurs, there is nobody that's going to be determined righteous for the whole rest of that period of time when he's on the earth.
I don't know.
Because it's the resurrection of the just happens.
Well, they get up.
Right.
But they've got all the way for 1,000 years to make up their mind. I don't know. All I know is what's written.
Sorry, I'm just trying to work it
right
in my head.
But all the unbelievers are going to get sentenced. All the nations are going to be taken to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and they're going to be judged, whether they are sheep nations or goat nations. All right? Okay. Doesn't say anything in here about it. Just says 1,000-year reign. Now, there could be other prophecies I'm not familiar with. I haven't read it. No, I understand, Rod. You're cool. It's all good, man. I have some more coffee, please. That'll be all good. I'm warming up. You better stay up with me. Y'all need a cup. Okay. How much more time have I got?
It's 7:41 right now. I'm supposed to tell you it's 7:52, so that's 10 minutes from now, so that'll be 15 minutes left.
That ought to work. Thank you. 2 Peter. Let's finish the chapter. Get it over with so I can go to something new. Okay. 2 Peter, back to chapter 3, verse 10. Day of the Lord cometh thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away. That's at the end of the day of the Lord. With a great noise, elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are in shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things are going to happen, they're going to be dissolved. what kind of person you think you ought to be in all holy way of living and godliness. Thank you. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of what?
God.
And see, after Christ subdues all enemies, that begins the day of God. And we'll get in the next session, I'll show you how he's going to make all things new. Wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and for a new earth when what? Dwelleth righteousness. That's the new heaven and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's eternity. That's where the new Jerusalem from above shall come down. There's one going to be built on the earth. That's right. It's going to be built on the earth. But that's not the one talking about here. This is the one the saints looked for in Hebrews 11. And that's why they lived as sojourners and strangers on the earth. Because they looked for a better home that God builds. That's this Jerusalem. So, just like us, it ought to so burn in our heart the things that God's going to do for us, his beloved, that we live like strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The word ought to make a difference in our lives. It isn't going to fellowship and eat cookies. It's wanting to do the will of God and doing what it takes to get her done. And that's different for each of us. We all are a different part of the body. But we're all part of the same body. And you got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. You got administrations in there. What else? Administrations and
helps.
Yeah, helps in governments. But all of us are equipped with the same spirit. We've just got different natural abilities. Put them to work. And whatever it is, he will work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's a promise. He tells us he will. He's not a liar. He tells the truth. The devil is the liar. Well, I can't do that. Shut up! I can do all things through Christ who infuses me with inner strength. I'm complete in Christ. I'm filled to the full. Father, what do you want? That's right. Go see Paul. Well, I don't do anything but that. Yeah. Take this legion out. Not a problem. Get the hell out of here. Okay, so we're in verse. We, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved. Have you heard that word before?
Lots of times.
Seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is what?
Salvation.
Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, also speaking in them of these things, in the which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle with, as they do other scriptures, under their own what? You therefore, what?
Beloved.
Seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. You see, the world affects people. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Thus and so it's going to be. Amen. Let's take a break. Let me check that out.
Ouch.
What is our situation, son?
I'm
not lose my natural color.
Can you add what you have to your story? What I have?
Looks good.
Thanks. I appreciate it.